Hello and welcome to In the News. I'm your host, Crystal Carmen Stevens, and with us today is Father Weary. Father Weary, how are you?
Very good. Happy Easter, everybody. Happy Easter season, which goes now for a number of weeks till Pentecost.
Yeah, I think that we need to be reminded that it's not over. This is
right.
The greatest feast that we have. It goes all the way through Pentecost. And How much time is that, Father? What's the time span?
About 7 weeks, something like that. All the way to Feast of Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit in the upper room, which is also called the birthday of the church. It's considered the founding day of the church by many, Pentecost Sunday. So here we are.
Here we are. So people, don't stop celebrating. You don't stop being happy. Christ is risen. All right. So I'd like to start off our show today with the letter that Bishop Senior sent out to us faithful of the diocese. I found it just beautiful. I'd like to read you a little quote, Father. Actually, this is from Pope Francis, and this was from his last year's address to the people. Today is Easter, the Pasch, a word that means passage. For in Jesus, the decisive passage of humanity has been made, the passage from death to life, from sin to grace, from fear to confidence, from desolation to communion. Any thoughts on what that means, Father, to us right
now?
Well,
I certainly like the reminder that Pasch means passing, pass over, and then we're all on pilgrimage. And today we had the Emmaus Gospel on this. We're recording this Thursday of Easter week, and Thursday after Easter, and it was the Emmaus passage where the two men, are walking along the road, downtrodden, and the disguised Christ comes up to them. And what a great story that is. I just love the Emmaus passage. And we are on Passover means passage, passing over. Of course, the angel of death passing over the Hebrew homes, and we have the angel of death passing over us with the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Bishop Senior's letter quoting Pope Francis was very beautiful. And it's really the bishop's job to inspire us. Most bishops send out a Christmas letter and an Easter letter to the people. It bears attention and very inspirational and nourishing to hear from our chief shepherd on the theme of Christ risen from the dead and how we have to make that real in our lives.
Exactly. He ends his letter with, when the Easter victory of Christ sets us free, we are compelled to bring that gift to everyone we meet. In this way, as we continue on our journey, every person we encounter will be able to see Christ alive in us and in all that we do.
Amen. And back to the Emmaus account, when Christ, sat down at a table with them, broke bread and disappeared, they were so happy. That mysterious stranger was the risen Christ himself, and they just about ran the 7 miles back to Jerusalem to share with the others in the upper room, which is sort of like central headquarters at that time, the first church. We've seen him. And everybody in the room, of course, says, we've seen him too. And what joy there was that night. And we have to recapture. I said to my congregation, just four people at the five, maybe at the daily mass today, that we have to recapture that joy. We don't have the benefit of seeing the risen Christ in front of us, but we have the eyewitness testimonies. And from the Gospels and from the rest of the New Testament. And boy, to recapture that joy, being able to run to tell our brethren, the public, the people out in the streets and among our family and friends that Christ is risen. He is truly risen. Hallelujah.
I mean, if we think about those 3 days of the Triduum, that Holy Thursday is so, it pulls your heart out when Christ is processed through the church and taken away.
Yes.
And then how happy you are when you step into that. We didn't go to the vigil this year. We went to the Sunday. And just how happy I was when he was back.
Yeah, that is so true. You totally get it. And I wish more would. I hope a lot of people do get, especially if they attend the whole Triduum and see.
I always say it wrong. Say that again.
Triduum.
Triduum.
Triduum. And when they see the stripping of the altars and all that, and there is a desolation. There's sort of a ritual desolation there that we're supposed to feel. And of course, we leave the tabernacle door open to signify that Christ is taken away from us. Now he's over in the side tabernacle, under arrest, so to speak, incarcerated. under interrogation. And yeah, you're right. The joy of coming in Easter Sunday and just seeing the fully decorated church once again. It is, the liturgical year, we play Bible. Like I said this before, I think I said it on the air, like kids play house. we play Bible. That's what the liturgical year is. Some of our Christian brothers and sisters are critical of some of the, the liturgical ins and outs, considerate legalism and so on and so forth. But no, not so.
Like I have to interject something here because you say something and it sparks me. What Bishop, Cardinal Gregory said about our president, Joe Biden, calling him a cafeteria Catholic.
Yeah.
Like playing Bible.
Yeah. Yeah. He's playing footloose and fancy free with the Bible, according to his own interpretation, which speaks very strongly to the importance of the teaching authority of the church from the Pope and the bishops. And of course, the church councils as well throughout the centuries. That's complementary to the Bible. And it's very important to that. And that paying attention to all that eradicates cafeteria Catholicism, I believe. Picking and choosing, going up and down the buffet line, so to speak. I like this doctrine. I like that one. Ooh, I don't like this one. And we have to be careful of that. That's true. And Wilton Gregory, Archbishop of Washington, Cardinal Archbishop of Washington, D.C., I commend him for his statements on that. It was on a talk show that he said that. God bless him.
Was it Meet the Nation or Meet the
something,
Press or
something
it
like
was something,
that?
Something very big and something very national. And mm-hmm. It was great because, he hasn't had the opportunity to speak out on Joe.
No,
because he was a brand new archbishop.
Right.
I feel that now he's secure in his position. He knows what he's doing in D.C. and he can speak honestly and truly. That was my diocese before we moved to Harrisburg. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a great effect. He likes my dog. He met Prudence.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's fabulous. Well, it also quoted Pope Francis, who labeled President Joe Biden's stance on life as incoherent, which is true because the president claims to be a devout Catholic, and yet never saw an abortion law he didn't like, and is lays out the red carpet for the pro-abortion stance and activity. So lamentable. We just have to keep praying for him.
I saw a headline that in the 2025 budget plan, he's pushing for taxpayer-funded abortion.
Yeah, I saw that. Right. Well, we certainly don't want that. I don't want my tax dollars going for abortion.
No, I think we need to be very vocal about that as people who disagree. Like, that should not be.
Right. Yeah. Going up to receive communion is really questionable. The thing for him to do would be to come to Mass every weekend and respectfully hold back from communion, but that'll be I won't hold my breath on that one. Because he's taking stances that are inimical to the faith and to the moral stance of the faith.
Yeah, I saw some sort of poll. I don't remember where I saw this, but it was like Americans aren't buying that Joe Biden's a devout Catholic. And that's
right.
Like the consensus. That wasn't the Catholic consensus. That was like just Americans in general.
Exactly. So I don't know. We just have to letters to the president, letters to our legislators are very important, I believe. And being involved in the pro-life movement, March for Life in Washington, D.C., Pennsylvania March for Life in Harrisburg, very good things to do to counteract this sort of thing and signal to our legislators and our executive branch as well that we are pro-life and we are opposed to attacking life in the womb. Amen.
And we're definitely opposed to paying for that. That is
right.
That's not it. All right. So, unfortunately, I really wanted to go, but I missed the Chrism Mass. Can you tell me what I missed?
Well, it's wonderful. It's if there's any such thing as an annual Mass of the diocese with the bishop and the people of the diocese gathered together, that's it. With ordination masses being close to that, but this is the Chrism Mass of the oils. And it was magnificent as it is every year. And all the priests of the diocese gathered there. We of course, pick up our oils for the parishes that are blessed. Big canisters, glass jars of oil carried down the aisle for the blessings. I highly recommend parishioners to go there. It's the mother church of the diocese, of course. And I love seeing my parishioners there. That is such a comfort to me and to all the priests. There is just such an inspiration at that Mass. And it we had a day of recollection. The priests had it earlier, sort of like a mini retreat day for a few hours at the up at the streets of the Mater Dei, former St. Lawrence Church, also on State Street. So it was magnificent. And you've been to it before, I'm sure, Crystal. And it's just great. So highly to be recommended.
Highly to be recommended. Sorry I missed it this year because I did tell you that I was going and I did not.
Mm.
So I apologize for that. So, okay. So I want to talk about Jordan Peterson and I want to talk about the wonderful blossoming of Catholicism worldwide.
Yeah.
So let's start that now and let's talk about that. So Jordan Peterson is a speaker, intellectual, and his wife was battling cancer and came into the church after she had been committed to the rosary.
Yes.
Came in this year. So congratulations to her.
Congratulations, indeed. And as part of this, apparently some people are calling it a Catholic revival of, mass conversions around the world and in the United States as well, centering on the Easter Vigil, which the night before Easter, the big Easter Mass, inaugurating the Easter season, traditional time for taking the newly received into the faith, although it can be done anytime during the year, but Easter Vigil follows the ancient practice that was the big night for adult baptisms and bringing people into the faith. And there's a Florida parish that had 50 baptisms this past Easter Vigil and 30 confirmations, adult confirmations. That's 80 people receiving into the faith. Auburn, Alabama parish church, 82 received into the faith.
Wow.
And there in the French, in France, this past Easter Vigil, 7,135 adults were baptized into the Catholic Church, double from 20 years ago.
Wow. So let us take a break here, Father, and come back and revisit this in our second section, our second segment of In the News.
Okay.
We'll be right back. Thank you for listening. Hello and welcome back to In the News. I'm your host, Crystal Carmen Stevens, and with us again is Father Weary. Father, we were talking about this Catholic revival that's happening worldwide.
Yes, and I just gotten done mentioning France had 7,135 adults receiving baptism and Easter Vigil around the country, 32% increase over last year when it was 5,463. And in this year, 36% of that 7,000 receiving baptism were between 18 and 25 years of age. Imagine that. The young people, I can attest to that. More on that in a minute from my own experience. France also has 700 seminarians right now, 83% born in France, and 27% between 18 and 25 again. So there seems to be something going on there. I've had a couple of high school young men convert to the Catholic faith. One in a senior year of high school several years ago, in the high school right across from my second parish, just called me up and said, I've been reading during coronavirus. He was reading a lot,
mm-hmm.
studying religions. He decided upon the Catholic faith that's the real deal, correctly so. And now he just accepted into seminary. Now we have another high school student also was received into the faith. And we had about six in Sacred Heart, my larger parish, Lewistown, six received into the faith, two baptisms, two adult baptisms. So that's significant that the young people are really, it seems to be catching on. In any case, in London, England, this past Easter Vigil, Westminster Cathedral the Cathedral Church of the Catholic Church in London, not to be confused with Westminster Abbey, which is a couple miles away. This is Westminster Cathedral, with a capacity of 3,000. It fits 3,000 people jammed.
Wow.
For Easter Vigil, they had to turn people away.
Wow.
And I know one fellow I read about, he's Robert Stevenson Padron, 39 years old, co-founded Penrose Care to combat labor exploitation in the care sector. He was awarded the OBE, an order of, I forget how, what
so is that called. A knight?
I think, yeah, sort of like a knight. Not quite a knighthood,
not
but
quite a knight.
But awarded by King Charles III. He's Catholic. And he tried to get in on Good Friday, could not get into Westminster Cathedral in London this past Good Friday. Walked 2 miles to the historic St. James Church, also full, also jammed, although he was allowed to stand in the back. So just for the Triduum, just jammed churches. And I have a quote here.
Here as well. I know when I was there Thursday, Friday, and Sunday, that there was an announcement every time to please share your programs because there are more people here than we expected. So please, if you're family, share one and give the program to the next person who needs one.
Right. Yeah. And this Stevenson Padron has a quote. I like it. He said, Friedrich Nietzsche is dead.
Yes.
Christ, the crucified, and his holy Catholic Church are alive and well. That's significant because Friedrich Nietzsche was a German 19th century German philosopher who coined the phrase, God is dead,
dead.
Which was became popular in the 1960s and 70s among atheists. And Nietzsche first said it, and he was very anti. Nietzsche was terrible, very anti-religion. So I think it's funny that this guy said, no, Friedrich Nietzsche is dead. Christ the King is alive and well. So, G.K. Chesterton said this. He was a British writer, a Catholic, also a convert to the faith in the earlier 1900s, a prolific author and writer. He says, Christianity has died many times and risen again, for it had a God who knew the way out of the grave. Had a God who knew the way out of the grave. So it's so true. Yeah. There's times that Christianity thought, you thought during the Roman Empire persecutions and all that, it was going to be blotted out, but it came back. And that's true in other instances around the world throughout.
The gates of hell will not prevail.
That's right. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You're right. So those are good news things. And along those lines is another convert I wanted to mention, and you brought it to my attention, Clay Dimmick, a goalie for the Charlotte Independence soccer team. He's team captain, and he I have a quote from him. He's founded a organization called Mira Via that is to minister to pregnant young women, college students who get pregnant in college, and to, you know, encourage them to have their baby and provide them all kinds of services.
It's beautiful.
He has founded that organization. He and his wife now run it. And it's funded by something called Cleats for a Cause. And he wears cleats that advertise Mira Via. And he's a convert. He's an alumnus of Belmont Abbey College, speaks very well of the Benedictine Fathers who own and operate and run that college. And after he graduated, he became Catholic. And he says, I quote him, since becoming Catholic, I seek to glorify God in all things, my marriage with my two sons, my professional soccer career, and everything else, unquote. Now, there's something. Along with the Catholic revival worldwide, here's another instance of a part of that that is just so inspirational. And I got to tell you, I'm a sucker for celebrities, actors, sports figures who become Catholic, who are very devout Catholics. And I go, here, here, hip, hip, hooray.
It's a great example for others who don't know to follow. And it's a really, they're positive role models.
That's right. Very positive, very positive role model. So we commend him for that. And maybe we could segue now to something a little bit sad. You and I have talked about this. St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York City is getting nailed again. We had the transgender funeral of several weeks ago that was a disaster. A transgender leader had asked the family and her friends had asked for the funeral to be held there at St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York City, and it turned out to be a big big demonstration.
I still think that was totally intentional. That was meant to be an attack on the church. They just used, you know, she was an atheist, and
yeah.
You know, yeah. It hated the church.
Yeah,
and this was a great way to just, you know,
yeah, just get it to church. The cathedral staff purported to be completely surprised by it, and in the middle, it was supposed to be a funeral mass.
Mm-hmm.
The priest, the celebrant, made a very good call halfway, you know, into this ceremony where they're like dancing in the aisles and doing all kinds of outrageous things in the pews, all the LGBTQ community acting out. He made a very good call and said, "We're not going to consecrate the Eucharist. We're not going to give out communion." That was very good.
That was brilliant.
I don't know if they ever received an apology or not, but they did a massive, what they call a massive reparation. Cardinal Dolan came in to do a special mass to sort of spiritually reverse the effects.
Yeah, yeah, clean that up. There was some very bad motives brought in.
Clean that up.
Yeah.
Well, now it's happened again.
Yep.
It was during the Easter Vigil, I believe.
It was.
Pro-Palestinian protesters associated with a subgroup of the environmental group called Extinction Rebellion. And that's, as I said, environmental concerns. The subgroup is XRNYC, which is for Palestinian Solidarity. And they were about three or four individuals this time.
Yeah, three of them were arrested. What really stood out to me about these three individuals were their ages. One man was 63, another was 35, and another was 31. That, you know, you are well old enough, all three of you, to know that there are some things you do and some things you do not do.
That's right.
Yeah, those three. Oh, that I can't even imagine. I'm so glad that I was not at St. Patrick's that day.
It's not clear what they want the Catholic Church to do. The United States Conference of Catholic Bishops and Pope Francis have urged a ceasefire in Gaza.
They just want to cause trouble. That Extinction group, they just want, yeah. Those are the same people that have gone and, like, you know, defaced the Mona Lisa, those are those people.
Uh-huh.
Those are those. They just want to cause trouble and draw attention to themselves. So I find it very funny that these middle-aged people are, you know, in the throes of just causing chaos. But then on the other hand of the spectrum, you have these young people flocking to the church.
Yeah. Isn't that something?
That's a good observation.
That is a good observation. We only have a couple minutes left.
I want to talk about your letter to the editor.
I did a letter. This is what I do. I mean, I'm in a small town. Lewistown and Mistletown's the other parish. But I'm vigilant about content, newspaper content, if the faith is attacked. So there was a sort of an attack on the faith by, he's a local minister, and this was March 23rd. It took some shots at the Catholic Church. It's a long diatribe against law that law and legalism. And I'm not sure, I didn't give too many examples. But one of the examples he gave was confession and people counting their beads. You can't atone for your sin, I'm quoting, by doing good things, by religious activity, by praying, by saying beads or going to confession. Let me read that again. You cannot atone for your sin by doing good things, by religious activity, by praying, by saying beads or going to confession. There is no way to wipe out one single sin of the past. So I just wrote, prayers such as counting the beads, quote unquote, and other forms of devotion are expressions of affection for God and gratitude for his gifts. And I say that Christ in John 20, 19, 23, when the resurrected Christ tells those first church leaders in the upper room, whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven them. Whose sins you shall retain, they are retained. Unquote. And I go on to say, how can they forgive or retain sins unless they are informed of what the sins are?
And on that note, Father, I hate to do it, but we have to wrap it up for In the News for this week. It's wonderful to talk to you. I always love it. Can you give us a prayer?
Lord God, Heavenly Father, may the joy of Easter rise in our hearts. And may we share that with all around us. And may Almighty God bless you all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.